Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with 7 cafes and drive-thru locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. I'm Shelley Delaney, and my next guest is Aaron Elmore, here to tell us about the next show coming up for Theater in the Rough. Hi, Aaron.
Hi there.
Hi. Thanks for being here today. I'm excited to hear that Theater in the Rough has a new performance to talk about, opening this Friday. Are you guys ready to take on The Tempest by William Shakespeare?
Yeah, well, I can't tell you how excited we are to be able to be indoors. As much as a wonderful adventure as it was last year, I think we were one of the first theaters in the country to actually try to do a live performance. But between the bugs and the airplanes and the sun and the rain and the cold and all the elements, it's very nice and posh to be back indoors doing a play. And we're thrilled to be able to do Tempest again.
How interesting that it's something that you probably always took for granted and now feels like a luxury.
Oh, it really does. And I think it's right that it should feel like a luxury because that place is luxurious, really. It's tiny. It's got problems. And like every theater in the world has problems. But boy, it's we're really happy to be there.
And there is McPheeters Hall, your home. You're basically your home stage, right?
Yeah, we've been there sort of partnering with sort of theater in residence with Holy Trinity Episcopal Church there. It's their parish hall, McPheeters Hall. It was built back in the 60s originally, and of course rebuilt famously in 2008 and 9 is when it reopened. We've been working in there right the way along until last summer, actually, doing one or two shows a year. And we've been doing this, I can hardly believe it, 30 years now.
That's what I saw.
That?
Happy 30th anniversary.
Yeah. Thank you.
So let's talk. Yeah, it is. It is quite a milestone, actually, for a company such as yours, and definitely something to be proud of.
Thank you. Yeah, we are.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the story, The Tempest. Would you tell me something about it for those who aren't familiar?
The Tempest is the story of a magic user who is a woman who's marooned on an island. And because she's a magic user, because she's a person in authority and a person of power, she's betrayed by her brother. And she and her baby daughter are set adrift on the ocean in a boat. And her brother takes over. They do not expect to find a little place to live, but they do find a place to live. And this story of our play picks up around the time when Prospero, the leading character, has discovered that all of her enemies are in a single ship and sailing by. So that's where the title Tempest is created, in order to maroon them on the same island where she is. And then she spends pretty much the rest of the play deciding just exactly what she's going to do.
So are you in the cast, and can you share a few lines?
Of course. Yeah, I am in the cast. Also, I'm directing it. That's my main role, and I'm playing it's not a large part. King Alonso is one of the bad guys. He's King of Naples. Prospero is the Duchess of Milan, and she's, or Milano, as it's properly called by the people who actually live there. Of course, this was written by an Englishman back in the late 1500s, and so nothing is pronounced correctly. But speaking as one of the enemies of the title character, I don't have a lot of super celebrated lines, but this Tempest is the one that gives us "O Brave New World." It has such people in it. It also is has the line, "We are such stuff as dreams are made on, and our little life is rounded by sleep," which talks about the theater and also talks about our lives as microcosms of some larger thing, and that at some point there will be an end to the story that we're a part of. There will be an exit. That's just part of all our, that's part of the condition we live in. But of course, Shakespeare manages to put it in a way that makes your jaw hit the floor. It's beautiful.
Absolutely. Well, tell me a little bit more about the production. Who else is in the cast?
A lot of our regulars, Katie Jensen is playing, co-founder and co-artistic director, Katie Jensen's playing Prospero. And Prospero, of course, originally to be played by a man. And watching a play, watching this production with another white man in power really just didn't seem like the moment. Katie was eager for the challenge, and she's absolutely just right for it. Being able to have a woman play Prospero with her marooning enemies, all played by men, changes the tone of the production and makes certain parts of it more urgent and more lively, and just exactly the right way. It's a beautiful thing. Denise Scott's playing playing Ariel. Natalia Spangler's playing Miranda. So we've got a lot of our usual suspects in there. Valerie Collins has come back as she was in As You Like It Best, and she's come back as Stefano, the drunken butler, Dan Wayne, Trinculo. I've got everybody's name down here, but it's a cast of 12 people, and some of them have never done Shakespeare before, as almost always happens with us. We get a few people out there who can't do Shakespeare, but as we always tell them, the main reason to do this is not because of the fancy language or the affectations of the silly outfits. It's really about exploring what it is to be human and finding out what it is that draws us all together.
Indeed, his work is timeless, but I like the casting choices that you're making and everything that you were saying about that, because that allows you to reinvent some of it and try on different things and present it in a new way. And your younger audience, who wouldn't be familiar with the story, perhaps would not know who or what Prospero was supposed to be. So I like it.
I don't think anybody's going to question it once they come in, and there may be some, for those who are familiar with a version of the play that they really love, then they may be, they may suffer some interruptions to their paradigm being shifted. But that's a beautiful way to look at the play. And it was a way for us to explore parts of the play that deal with privilege and that deal with power, and that also and framing all that within this context is a way for us to feel like we could talk about things that need to be talked about, and also that are also things that members of the cast, women in the cast, are familiar with intimately and were excited to be able to explore.
I agree that it is exciting, and it's an exciting play as well. And another element that's exciting, we touched on it a bit already, is that it will be performed indoors, just like the good old days. But there are some requirements for the audience members in order to make that happen safely. So I wondered if you wanted to discuss that.
Absolutely. We wrestled with how to try to do this, taking into account some of the processes that are being engaged in by theaters across the country, all of whom have different levels of sort of local risk to COVID-19. And what we boiled down to, after having tried several processes and checking those processes through with our box office volunteers and our board members and our cast, the leadership at Holy Trinity Church, who's also dealing with gathering people in different ways, the end result was that while we're strongly recommending everybody get a vaccine, by golly, what we felt like we could require of folks is that they wear a mask when they come see the show. So that's what we're going to do. We have our usual kind of 75 or 80 seats in McPheeters Hall. If you feel nervous about coming to see a show with 80 of your close neighbors, then my recommendation is you come on a Wednesday or a Thursday, because there's almost never a full house on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and you'll have plenty of room to stretch out, kick back, and enjoy the show. Apart from that, we'll hope, of course, to get as many people in as we as want to see this. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. And we're quite proud of it and hoping that Juno's ready to come watch a play. It was always watching, coming, leaving your house and going to watch a play was always an act of bravery. I felt like, because there's been plenty of times when I've been challenged to leave my house and go watch a play, and I just wasn't up for it. It's tough, but it feeds you. And if you can make it out the door, by golly, you're gonna see something fine. And if you have been to a play before and you enjoyed it, then bring somebody who hasn't been to a play before, because you may find it'll feed them too.
Great advice, Aaron. Thanks for that. And I wanted to just make sure that the audience has everything they need to know before they come out. The play does start this Friday. Will they be required to show proof of vaccine or negative COVID test or anything like that? Just mask is the only requirement?
Mask is the only requirement. We decided that asking people to show a proof of vaccine was just too much for our box office volunteers to try enforce. So we're going to ask people to wear a cloth face covering that covers their nose and their mouth. And that's the only requirement we're asking. I should probably mention as well that we're having a free preview tomorrow night on Thursday night. We're going to open on Friday and there'll be a show on Saturday. We're having a pay-as-you-will performance on Thursday next week. So there's some opportunities to come in if you'd like to see it at a variety of rates. And then tickets, I've been assured and told, have just gone live on the Vendini outlet, so tickets are now available all the way through to our final closing matinee on August 1st. We're going to run this 4 weeks. That should be lovely. And we're also, there's a variety of show dates and times. Most of the evenings will be 7:30. Matinees are at 2, and there's 2 of those. But all that stuff is on the Vendini website. You can find that, navigate it, you'll be in good shape. We also always, always, always sell tickets at the door. And we hope to see lots of people out there.
Now, Aaron, is this show appropriate for all ages?
You know, I think kids would really love it. There are a couple of masks. We do some top of the head mask work, sort of creature kind of creatures. But the news that these creatures have to deliver is not happy news. And so they are in a threatening mode. I can imagine that some very young audience people might be a little bit scared of those particular masks. We also have a thunder sheet and some loud noises and loud music. So I think if folks are fair warned, the show itself is not only quite good, it's I think quite age appropriate for a wide variety of ages right the way down. Maybe I don't have any children, so I'm guessing, but I would say that anybody down 8 years old sure gonna enjoy the heck out of it. It's got all kinds of things going on. The whole thing lasts, it's also, you know, it was one of the latest plays he ever wrote. It's also not one of the longest by any stretch. I think the whole thing runs right around 2 hours, and that very nearly includes the intermission. So I think that's just about right. So
well, that sounds good all around. I'm very happy for you. I know that you are thrilled to be putting on this presentation for Juno. The Tempest from Theater in the Rough opens July 9th, runs through August 1st. I've been speaking with Aaron Elmore. Lots more information. Anything that we covered today can be found at the Theater in the Rough website, and it will take place in McPheeters Hall, their home stage, 4th and Gold downtown. Aaron, anything else you'd like to share before we say goodbye today?
No, it's just wonderful to be back doing this again. Thanks very much for a chance to visit with you here this afternoon.
I agree. It's been great talking to you about live theater again. So thanks, and hope you have a wonderful premiere. Break a leg.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.